Amen. Lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Blessed be His wonderful name. Let us bow our heads with a prayer. Let us center our thoughts upon this great lovely one in whose presence we are gathered tonight. He who is faithful, He who keeps every promise. He who promised where two or three is gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. What a comforting thing that is to us tonight. You know He didn't leave us to walk blindly. The pillar of fire has come back for another exodus to lead us and to guide us. The great Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us into all truth. Blessed be His wonderful name. I want to encourage you to believe tonight, whatever you have need of. God promised to take care of these things for us. He knew that there would be needs. He knew that we'd find ourselves in circumstances where we would be unable in our own human selves to deal with the things that confront us. But He promised that if we ask for bread, He will not give us a stone. Promises that we could cast our cares upon Him because He cared for us. Let's appropriate these things tonight. Let's take Him at His word. Let's exercise our faith. Let's not just be oppressed by the circumstances, but lift up our heads. Look up. David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Father, we bow our hearts in Your great presence tonight. So good for us to come into Your house, Lord, and to bring our sacrifices of praise, the fruits of our lips, giving praise and thanks unto You, who called us out of darkness to walk in this marvelous light, that we might show forth Your praises, dear God. That we might be witnesses of You in this hour. Representatives of Christ, lights that shine in a dark world, walk in the midst of a crooked generation, dear God. But You've given us something to live by, Father. You brought Your word back in its fullness, in its completeness, in its entirety. Something to nourish us and strengthen us for the journey, dear God. Something to build us up into such a condition we can face the challenge of this hour. With the Holy Spirit present to quicken it and to reveal it and to inspire it and to make it a living reality in our hearts and our lives, Lord. You said You'll write Your laws in our hearts and our minds. You'll blot all our sins, our iniquities. You'll remember them no more. No man will have to say, know the Lord, for we'll all know You. For in that day You'll know I in You and You in me. And greater is He that is in You than he that is in the world. We believe that that is this hour, Father. And that these things are coming from negative to positive in the lives of the true believers. And here You are tonight, dear God, giving us another opportunity to come back and to assemble ourselves, to gather ourselves together like this, to worship You and to praise You, to feel Your presence come down in our midst, dear God, to do something for us tonight in the time that You have allocated that we'll be here. And the needs that we have, we can bring it before You, Father. We take this opportunity. Gracious God, I pray that faith would drop into the hearts of You need the children tonight. That faith will bring them to the power that can produce the promise. That they can leave this service, dear God, encouraged to know that You know what they have need of, Father. And that You stand here ready, willing, and able, oh God, to assist them, dear God, to minister unto them as they have need of. God, I pray that faith will be inspired, that they will exercise that faith tonight. Hallelujah. May You grant it tonight, Father. And Lord, we look to You that You would speak to us out of Your word. In this hour when it's so necessary for us to know clearly the hour that we are living in. To see how You're bringing Your word to pass, Lord. To see the things that You have pointed out by Your Holy Spirit for us. The Lord will not be left without understanding. But Lord God, seeing where we are placed positionally in the Scriptures. And the things that have been made manifest around about us, even in our very own midst, where it fit in the Word, in the plan of God for this age. The Lord God, the mind of Christ, can move into every heart, the intelligence of the Holy Spirit, that truly this great union between Christ and the church, where the bride has the mind of Christ and she knows what He wants done with the Word. We will have to struggle, Lord, in the energies of the flesh. We'll have to walk wondering what's going to happen. But we, Lord God, can be led by the Holy Spirit, being moved supernaturally. Oh God, where we can know the hour, where we can understand the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Where, Lord, sometimes when it seems difficult to make certain decisions, faith can move us out into that sphere. Where we would stand here wondering in fear and doubt. Should we or shouldn't we? But Lord God, seen clearly where what the Scripture says, seen the time clock striking the hour. Knowing the hour that we have come to. Like when you came to your hour, Father, you could say, now is my hour come. Or what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But you are a source that faith found. And you could draw from there, God, something you preach about and something that you walk into and something that you recognize. You are now in the rhythm of the Word. You are under the Spirit of the Composer, the very Director. Directing out the Word, watching the great drama of God unfold. But when we too come to our hour, Father, when the channel begins to be opened up to us too, a faith can move in our hearts, Lord. Though it might seem odd to people who love this world and the things of this world, but we who are delivered from this present evil world, the light has come, Lord, shine and to show to us this great Satan's Eden that has been built up, and this God of this evil age who is about to be enthroned over this Eden. This world is falling apart, but the light has come to show to us, Lord, another world. Another kingdom that is coming from negative to positive. Hallelujah! Your word says we have received a kingdom that cannot be removed. And the light now shining between mortal and immortality, between the dying world of corruption and a bright new shining day. Hallelujah! The voice of the Holy Spirit saying shalom. That we can lift our eyes to the eastern skies. We can lift our heads and look up, knowing our redemption draweth nigh. Knowing this Sodom and Gomorrah will soon be turned to ashes also. Like that first one was turned to ashes. Hallelujah! And the righteous will walk within the ashes of the wicked. Because we have seen the last sign before this world is burned with fire. And we have been moved into a channel, Lord. Where you said, I'll return according to the time of life. Let us be a faith to be changed. Oh, gracious God. Make the scriptures real, Father. May we not walk by human understanding and walk by sight. After the word has been opened up and the light has shone upon that word that light never shone before, that rock beneath the rock, that we might see Jesus on His program. Grant it, Lord. May we not walk by sight, but walk by faith. Because without this faith, that Enoch had, it is impossible to please You. Faith for rapture and grace. Bless us tonight and bless the word to our hearts. Bless us with true scriptural understanding. Bless us, Lord, with overcoming faith. Now pull on the strongholds of reason and imagination. Bring every thought into captivity. We can move on to the humanistic realm and live in the realm of perfect faith. Walk in the realm of divine revelation. Knowing that this faith is a victory that overcometh this world. Would You do that for us, Father? Lord, may You grant it tonight. How we hunger and thirst after this righteousness. The righteousness of God has been revealed from faith unto faith. Grant it, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless each and every one. Minister to us individually. Whatever need that Your children might have tonight. Aren't You the all-sufficient God tonight? Aren't You the God who says, You shall supply our every need according to Your riches and glory? We believe that, we confess that tonight, Father. May You minister to us, and may we leave this place with that blessed assurance tonight that You have heard and answered prayer. Grant it, Father, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. God bless you. Let's open up the Word tonight. We'd like to read in Romans 13. Begin with. Trust that you feel fine, and you know, there are no great numbers tonight, but nevertheless, we're here in the presence of God. Amen. I guess there's some real good reasons that some people have felt that they could take the night off tonight. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. But nevertheless, it means that when John is not going to pack the water, Peter will pack the wood and the water too. Amen. So you have to stand for yourself and stand for those who is not here tonight. It just happens like that sometimes. And you know, in these crucial times, we have to make most of every opportunity. And we certainly want to do our best for the Lord and for His work here. Amen. Paul told Timothy, he said, if you give yourself wholly unto the doctrine, you will not just save yourself, but others also. When we know we can save others also, friends, God gives us a word that others can be saved through our influence, our testimony, and the power of this church rise, the pulse brethren. Amen. God only have one way to do things, is through man. Man that has been redeemed by His blood. Romans 13, and we're going to read from verse 11, from verse 8 to 10. He was giving some exhortations here about Christian living, and he was referring to those commandments that had to deal with how we should live and our attitude towards our neighbor. And we just take this little portion here, verse 11. And knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. When that blast took place and them seven angels appeared and a prophet was on the earth and the seven seals opened up and salvation came to us in these last days and we believed, we said, that's the prophet. This is the last age. This is the sign of the coming of the Lord. 30 something years ago, is nearer tonight than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Notice what he's doing here. He's talking about time, and he's showing you how the time is running out. It's nearer. He said, high time to awake, because it's nearer than when we believe. There's a time we believe, but the time now is far more advanced than when we first believed. And he said, the night that we have come through is far spent. All these years, the night has been passing away, and a new day is dawning. The day is at hand. And he said, now that we understand time, how it's running out, and a new day is coming on, then being conscious of these things, it should reflect in your attitude. So let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. There's a putting away, a putting off, and a putting on. Why? We see the day coming on. And we have to lay aside every weight and every sin, because we have to stand before Him without spot or wrinkle. And we see the time running out, we have to capitalize upon it, because we know there will become a time we will be able to do nothing about it. So let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk now. After we cast off these things, let us walk now. Honestly, as in the day. Not in reveling and drunkenness. Not in immorality and wantonness. Not in strife and envying. Our life should be far above these things now. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, he tells us, put on the armor of light. Verse 14, he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. For He Himself is the armor of light. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. And that's what man is so anxious about today. What they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, how they're going to live. They're so taken up with these things, because the economic age, when the world has been bombarded with these things. But he said, didn't I promise you the third Paul? Didn't I reveal you the seven tongues to give you a rapture in faith? Didn't I promise you a word that can multiply the bread and fish? Didn't I promise you a faith to come into a certain place that you'll even change his body? Then why you want to live down here bombarded by these things where you can't come up into this faith? Like the woman, you know, she said, I only have enough for me and my boy to live. She was bombarded with economic conditions. But Elijah said, give me that. And thus said the Lord, the cruise will never fail, the barrel will not go dry. He was lifting up out into a greater faith where famine and economics have no power over her. She can live knowing that she's obeying the word of the prophet. You see a paradox. That's where God wants to move us, friends. That's why it's put in the Bible. It can be taught to us. All scripture is given for inspiration, for doctrine. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Let's take another one with that. Ephesians 5. Scriptures are so powerful. Just to read a couple of verses. You read it in the spirit like a musician. You're reading the great symphony that's written out here and you're getting the spirit of the director and the spirit of the composer. It takes on a whole new feeling, a whole new meaning. Look at Paul again. He's telling about walking, how they should walk in Ephesians 5. Walk in love and so on. Be children of light, not children of darkness. How there was one time children of disobedience, but now they are children of obedience. One time they were children of darkness, but now they are children of light. But we just want to just take verse 14 to see what time. Wherefore he said, awake, thou that sleepest. In Romans, he's saying, high time to wake up. Here he's saying, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Don't stay among the dead. The people of this world are dead, friends. The soul that sinneth or disbelieveth the revealed word shall surely die. When they turned on this word, they were all dead. He's come to judge the quick and the dead. But there's a resurrection taking place. See? So arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. Like we're saying over here in Romans, you see? Don't walk in wantonness and envy and strife, and say, walk different. See, then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. It's talking about the time again. Because the days are evil. Are the days evil today? Never been as evil as it has been. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore? Be you not unwise to understanding what the will of the Lord is. Redeeming the time. It's high time you're awake. Redeem the time because the days are evil. And let me take one before I let you have a seat. I'll take one Colossians 4. Just a couple of them I have here I would like you to look at. Colossians 3, we're speaking just like how you speak in Ephesians. And Ephesians and Colossians always go together. Ephesians reveal Christ the head. Colossians reveal the church, the body. Ephesians and Colossians, the head and the body. Verse 2. Continue in prayer, like Daniel was in prayer. And Gabriel came down. Continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Praying also for us. See, you continue in prayer, you have thanksgiving, and you keep you watch too. Stay under expectation. Keep watching. Your eyes been anointed. You know what to look for. You know how to stand. So watch those three things here. Continue in prayer and watching in the same with thanksgiving. Don't live out thanksgiving. Always thanksgiving is expressing your gratitude for answered prayer. See? Be thankful in everything. Give God thanks in everything. Give Him thanks. In the good times, praise Him. In the bad times, do the same. He said, praying also for us, the ministry, pray for you, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. For remember, the days are evil. Time is dark. It is a time the word should be going out. Men is to be told before the judgment strikes, for which I am also in bonds. He's in prison. He's writing this. He's in bonds and chains, locked up in a jail. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom. See, be wise. Be understanding. Say, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Again, it tells us back in Ephesians 5, redeeming the time, high time. Wake up. Don't be asleep. Redeem the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, be able to testify and give witness with conviction out of a life bringing forth good fruit. They can affect somebody in such a way that through your contact with them, it will create a thirst in them for what you have. Let be seasoned with salt, for you are the salt of the earth. Salt is create a thirst. When you say you have the word and you talk it, but it's always in condemnation. It's always in a self-exalted way to make you feel better than somebody else. You know more than somebody else. It don't have no effect on nobody. But when you can speak it to see what Christ means to you, this great riches that have been imparted to you, that you've come to inherit, this thing that you live for day and night, you hunger and thirst after, it has changed your life. The deliverance that brought for you, you want to see somebody else experience it the same way. Somebody will be touched. You will not be able to save the whole world, but God could lead you to come in contact with one who He intends to be part of His kingdom. To walk in wisdom. See, He has given us a soul is wise, the Bible says. Toward them that are without, redeeming the time, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know. See, knowledge must be quickened in you to know what, when to speak, how to speak, what to speak, when to hold your peace, when to let your life do the speaking, and then when to let your voice do the speaking. See? That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let us pray. Father, take your word, Lord, is rich, is so pregnant with life. Open it in such a way that life can be imparted and quicken us, Lord, and empower us by your Spirit, quicken word. That we might be equipped and fortified. There'd be a sense of expectation in our every move, where we can truly reflect the light that one may see. Our speech truly can be seasoned with salt, create a thirst in the hearts of those who would hear it, Lord. Grace will be ministered, and we know how we ought to answer people, Father. We can be an instrument in your hand in this hour. Grant it, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. I just want to keep you focused, not so much to preach tonight. Yet I might preach a little bit how I feel, but in my heart and my mind is just to try to hold your thoughts in the place where we can keep feeling the Holy Spirit, who we believe at this present time has brought our attention to recognize in a clear way where we are, what we should be on the expectation of, what we should be being prepared for now, and the things that we should be trying to get out of our lives, and the things we should be trying to see come in a greater way in our own lives. And if I can hold your heart and your mind here, then it would keep you in your fellowship walking a little closer with God. Because a Christian life don't really go by sermons from day to day. All these things are just to help cultivate and develop the life that is already predestinated in you, and to awaken you where you can walk in harmony and stay under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, who is the inside teacher, who can teach in your own life to take the place that He has ordained for you to take. And you can represent Him, whether you're a housewife in your home, in your community, whether out in the job where He may have you outside there, wherever He calls you to be a witness to Him, to witness this message, because He is divine and we are the branches. We are placed there, and He knows how to move us. He knows how to guide us. He knows to use us in different places. But the important thing, it is Jesus Christ. The world don't want to see us. The world wants to see Jesus Christ. fact, we've been hit by tradition. See? You and me are nothing in this society. But if the world can see that God still lives, if the world can see that God can still tabernacle in people, then they don't have to be no great personality. They have to learn to humble themselves to the Word, to give Him His rightful place, where someone can sacrifice to cooperate with the Word, where we can come into obedience to the Word. Sometimes it's hard to obey. Sometimes it challenges us. A real Christian life is challenged every day. God challenges us. And so the devil challenges us too, to see if we'll walk with Him daily. Somehow when a person is cooled off, they come to the place where, well, they say, well, I believe the message. In other words, I believe the things the message teach, the doctrine, the message, and the message. But I'm really living for the coming of the Lord. I'm really living to fulfill no word. I'm really living to see what God promised to the all manifest in my life. But I'm not denying by confession of mouth what the doctrine is. So I'm a believer. That's not the concept. A lot of people think by saying, Brother Branham's the prophet, have the pictures on the wall, go along and meet somebody in the denomination, and say, all you know, a prophet come. You know, in the last days, you know, such happening, all you have are the seals. So, you know, that has been a believer. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Our meat is to do the will of Him that sent us and to finish this work. And that is why sometimes our plans, our ambitions, all these things are challenged by the Word. But I want to show tonight, when faith strikes people, it separates them. Not just from the world and sin. Abraham had to leave father and mother. Abraham had to leave country and friends. Abraham had to leave opportunity and position. Peter said, Lord, we are forsaking everything to follow you. Jesus said, those who forsake father and mother and houses and lands and all these things for my sake shall have these things in the next world. To walk with God is a challenge. People think it's only forsaking sin. Immorality. So they do that, so they say, okay, well, I'm a Christian now. And when the world call for separation of things that look like a blessing to them, they behave like if God tell them you'll use that for the rest of your life until you die and go in the grave. A man will repeat and say, God, you let me use this for 6 months and you're going to take it out. Praise the Lord. I got a base and a bound. Jesus told Paul, I will show him how much things he'll suffer for my name's sake. I could tell him how much time he'll bear 40 stripes. I could tell him in advance how much time he'll get shipwrecked. I could tell him in advance how much time he'll be beaten. I could tell him in advance how much times he'll fall among robbers and thieves. You could tell him in advance. After when Paul tallied up, he said 3 times 40 stripes, so much time shipwrecked. He said, I give the whole tally. Then 2 Corinthians 6, he says, you know, he suffered this, and he suffered that, and he suffered this, and he suffered the other. He said, but yet, being poor, yet we are rich. Having nothing, yet we possess all things. See? But before he started, God said, he'll remain in the mind of him. People think they have real faith, but they don't have real faith. Many people who claim it don't have it. It's a challenge for them. It's a faith that bursts you beyond this world. You know what it does? It brings obedience. God says, take the thing you love the most and offer it up. And no devil in hell can make you reason that. That's what faith is. Because it's a life that has come under the control and power and influence of God. Because of the depth of conviction, the Word went in the air and made the world that God promised so real that a man realizes this world he sees with the eyes will pass away. And he realized trying to live for this life is making a bad investment. But investing in eternal life is the greatest investment a man can make. It's a great thing. And here we're in an age Laodicea, rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. An age of people's rights. You see it every day. Doctors striking, students striking, this striking, teachers striking, everybody striking, everybody protesting. But people's rights. That's the age. It's an age where the world is coming to an end. You see, tornadoes coming, twisters coming, hail falling. In the last 4 months, mystic lights appearing. It's happening. Nobody thinks of it. It just comes and goes. People are not interested in phenomena. People are interested in supernatural. You do when people see this thing and say, boy, is it time of the end? Let me shake up myself. No. They want to hear something else another day. They see too much in the movies. See too much on television, in play and make-believe. It kills all conviction. And the push is to acquire possession. It's to rise in ambition. It's to succeed in life. You have to succeed. You have to climb the ladder. You have to succeed. You can't be a failure. You have to go on. And Satan keep pushing them and keep advancing and keep betting yourself. And then tell them, now you are BA. Make them a slave for the last 3 months. Give them a piece of paper with them and say, you have a BA. Yet God wants to give them a BA too. Born again experience. And they can't spend one night prayer meeting to get it. Yet they will leave church and go away and study for 3 years and come back and stick the paper on the wall. More miseducated, but yet more deceived to feel that they are a better person. See? Why? The faith can't see beyond this world. When these seven seals opened, friends, it was to anoint our eyes. There's an age of darkness and blindness. And a man must know, my eyes have been anointed. I once was blind, but now I see. A person has to know that. Before the word came, that if we see when the word came, what did we see? Some people, their eyes begin to open, but now they get back blind. Because the seeing was only temporary. They only get temporary vision. When the word strikes your heart, there's something you want. Let me say, expect from God. God is real, friends. This message is not about, let's try to work up ourselves. Let's try to get, no. This message, God is saying, I am God. Try me, prove me. See if I'm not God. I came down a prophet. I still speak into existence. I can still calm the storm. I can still create things. I can still heal the sick. I can still raise the dead. I am God. Try me, believe me. That's what this message is all about. So I put you in this age. I want you to walk with me. When that speaks to a person's heart, and that strikes you, and you understand it, is that why the message came? Remember, the message didn't come to give us another religion, you know. Just to take us a step beyond the organization. One station beyond that. So we could feel good to say, praise God, we're not in denomination. The message didn't come for that. The message comes here, how much can you trust me? Can you trust me? To just let go and surrender fully to me? And let me take you and walk with you? Let me take you to a certain place and show my power? You see, God came down and did certain things to convince you this is the last generation. God did certainly convince you this is you've seen the last time before the earth is burning fire. Why was that so important? Because after he did those things, he'll ask you to walk with him in a certain way, and you have to behave like this world is already dead. It's like you walk in the hospital, you see the man dying, and God says, he is dead. He shall not live again. And then you hear two new doctors fly in, and a scientist just invent a new thing to pump up the man's heart. And they're promising the man will live 50 years longer. And God said that before science invented what they invented. And a person said, wait, now, boy, you sure, boy? I think I'll be at risk now
Because God didn't tell me to be a fanatic. Let me tell you, when the pillar of fire come down, and a man read the scripture that is written over 4,000 years ago, that Moses, all Moses wrote, Genesis 18, where Abraham turned his back to the tent like that, 4,000 years after, you see a man come and stand up here, and see the proof here that this world is back like there, and we back at that time, let God come down and prove that. What is God doing that for? Just for it to have a little influence while the man was alive and then it's forgotten when the man goes? No, that wasn't being done for him. That was being done for us. To say, church, do you see where you are at? Church, do you understand the hour? People, let me show you where you are at. That's what he was doing. He's saying, you are at this junction. Expect these things now. Start to prepare for this now. When he came and preached the token, and says, now Israel, at evening time, begin to apply the token, because at midnight, the death angel will pass and everything will die. The time of desperation. That wasn't like a theologian said, I want to preach on something tonight. Now I'm reading a scripture in Exodus. It's some kind of good. I think I have the understanding. I can explain that. I'm going to preach that. No. There's a prophet that came with two signs like the prophet Moses. Demonstrated the two signs. Proved to them, we are at the Exodus again. See the impersonators rise up. That was prophesied as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So shall these come. We will bid concerning the faith. All them things was done and identified. To say, okay, this is where we are now. Thus said the Lord, they shall never rise again. Spiritual death will strike everyone. That's what it was. So when we see where it places us, then God is saying, now that you see Egypt is going to be destroyed, the world I'm taking you out of, the system, there's no hope for it no more. And a couple of years pass. Remember, it's only a couple of seconds sticking away in God's time, you know. And remember, it is the long suffering of God that waited. But this is where the believer in this age have to come up with the faith. To show the faith. That there will be a people that will believe God's word. Why do you think we were taught about theophanies? Why do you think we were taught all these things? Why do you think we are promised the third Paul? Why do you think that was promised us? You know what it promises? Because that is the life for the next world. That's what we're going to be in the next world. We're going to get a taste of it here to take us over there. Why do you think God opened the seals and revealed the book of Daniel and all these things about the vision to show us with down in the toes? Not in the head, not in the chest, not in the thighs, not in the legs. Why didn't God come and show us where we are? To tell you, the rock is about to smite the whole thing. And you say, the rock already come in a spiritual form, smite every denomination, is going to come in a literal form and strike every nation. And when you see it, how could a person plan a life back in the old world? You know the Bible says, if you say you walk in, you have the light, and you do not the truth, you lie and the truth is not in you. It gets so bad you're lying to people because you already lied to yourself and convinced yourself already. But you can fool some people so many times, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Because you know why? It has some people who live in it. It has people who live in it. So when you look at them in the face of them, yeah, you believe it too. And they say you live in something different. It's hard to understand and respect that. They might sympathize. They might try to be a little diplomatic. They might not try. They might not want to be harsh. They might try to talk to you in a way to instruct you or to help you. But for a person to kind of think they can live there, and then hear the time ticking away and ticking away. And remember, it's a bright tree that has been restored. It means if leaf come back on, it's one sign of restoration. If fruit come back on, it's the next sign of restoration. It shows the tree is blooming. But if you look at the tree and no leaf, people can hardly fellowship around the word. You see the bark eating down, they hardly even have the doctrine to protect the life. The bark, you know the bark of the tree does? It protects the life. And the bark is the doctrine. You don't have a holy doctrine, you can keep life in you. It's the doctrine that's holding life in you. Therefore, to obey this doctrine, you'll save yourself and others also. When you believe this form of doctrine delivered to you from the heart, made you free from sin. Think of it. It's a powerful thing. The word move a person to a place of action. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And then works is faith expressed. Faith without works is dead. Is that right? And what is the works? Go in and feed the poor, lose something, or pay a tithe or something? That might be good in its humanistic sense. But in the sense of the word, to identify the faith of the Son of God, the life we live now, we live by the faith of the Son of God. It's faith preparing and making ready for the promise. You see a man preparing for the hour because he knows this is this hour. You see a man like Noah building that ark without seeing any rain, spending all his time labor in the air. A man is a fool. You're wasting all that good time. You gotta do this for yourself and do that for yourself and do that for yourself. Who believe in you? Who following you? You see, God spoke to him. He wasn't looking for conditions to influence him. The faith in him could change conditions. Because the faith is coming from God. We just want to live a life, let conditions bring out what in us. No. Faith is master all circumstances. The faith is coming by revelation from the Holy Ghost inside of you. So the faith is not governed by the circumstances. If faith had to change it from storm to peace, it changed it. Faith is mastered. Faith has to take control of it. If faith had to be done before the sheriff opened his mouth, faith will do that. Instead of calling 12 legions of angels. But people want to react to our action. But when I see they're really close and they don't know. Jesus didn't have to wait. Jesus didn't wait for them to come and hold him and put him and say, "Now is the hour coming?" He was preaching it. Because the same way he preached, he was the healer. And he preached, he was the provider. The same way he preached, he was the lamb to die too. John even called it. Think of that kind of faith. You know what I'm saying? John didn't even live to see the man die. And John called him the lamb. Simeon said, "Let thy servant depart and be my eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon see a baby. Simeon see him do one miracle. Yep. You talk about faith? He could see the word in infancy. He could recognize the word in infancy, knowing that word has everything to take inside it to bring forth every promise in its season. He not to be afraid of his confession. Faith is move a man into that sphere. Why? Because Simeon had a revelation. He was waiting on the expectation. He was led by the Holy Ghost. What he was saying wasn't coming out of reasoning. It was coming out of the inspiration of the God who gave the revelation, was responsible to bring it to pass in its season. Is that right? Wouldn't that be a wonderful place for us to live as believers? The guy with a message wants to bring us here. Not to sit and admire that and think you could be sure. To walk there. Just let us see. You can do it. And why would God say to you if God don't want it to be done to you? You think God just want to put something high way above you and just young and say, "I can never say to God, why don't come down low?" God can raise us up and become that. He's able to make stone into Abraham's seed. Isn't that by might, by power? You see people that have struggled sometimes, they're going through this battle in the mind, they're going through trouble in the flesh, they're going through something over here. They get scared, they get a backslide. What's that going to do? They're going to hide and cover the track and try to let nobody know. And then try to put on, wear a double identity and behave like a God who wants to help them. God let the devils come. Because God wants to say, "Help God! Let a dragon!
stretch out your hand like Peter when he's walking the water, begin to sin and raise your back up. I said, oh God, you want to punish me, Lord? You want to teach me how to walk in faith? You want to teach me how to overcome? That's where God wants to take you. But Satan sometimes comes to take a hold of your mind. Say, in church, or in church, or hard. When you're in church, then people see you so serious. I tell you, I ain't know now. No. This is a million miles. Remember, as high as God carried, make the word, is so high God wants to raise your life. That is what your desire is. And sometimes that is a way God helps you find out what kind of desire you have. Go in, God says, I want you to live here. He said, but Lord, I want you to live right here. He said, then use Lotto Abraham. Who are you? Talk fast. You have plenty of silver dollar. You're a hawk or eagle. Answer. You said, Lord, me the hawk now. Take me up. You come up here, amen. Glory be to God in the highest. That's where you want to walk, friends. People back off and cringing out of shape and everything else. Why? Walk in the carnal mind. God's thoughts are hard above our thoughts. His ways are hard above our ways. As we read the prophecy, why people miss God? Because God always is stronger than usual things. And they always get set in their own way. And when God does something unusual and different to the way they expect it, they just can't receive it. But God is always on unusual things. He always works in an unusual way. And that's why the wise miss it by a million miles, they stumble over the simplicity of it. It's always been a great thing in the Bible to know the time that you're living in. You know that? We see it from the scriptures we read. That how Paul is saying, it's high time, you're awake out of sleep. And you know we've been in the book of Daniel and Revelation, and the thing is that these two books, it reveals the time to us. There's no way that anybody could know that they are in the end time and where they are positionally in the program of God and what they should be expecting if they don't understand Daniel 7:2. It's put in the Bible to divide prophecy. Prophecy could not be divided without Daniel 7:2. That's why it's put here. That's why the Jews become the timepiece. Because so much time was given to them. And it was broken down in subdivisions. Unto so and so shall be 7 weeks. Unto that time to this time shall be 62 weeks. And then a 1 week. See? And then right inside there, God break up that time. And then we see how 69 and a half of those weeks have already been fulfilled. See? And when we see that there's a little space of time for the Gentiles called the fullness of the Gentiles in one place. In another place it's called seven church ages. Which give you even deeper insight of it, because now I tell you, this fullness of the Gentiles is dividing up into seven periods of time. And each period of time is given a man and a message. And then there's an angel come down at the end of that last man and say, time shall be no longer. And when that last seal breaks, there's a total secret. The rapture is a revelation. The one shall be taken, and the whole world going along. And the Jews back in the homeland getting ready for the last part. Just like Joseph's bride getting ready to be taken out. So Joseph could make himself known to his brothers. And God fixed his word in such a way that when he begins to open it up, the word becomes alive to you. And you begin to think the very thoughts of God, because God begins to make known to you what time you're in, what he's doing, how much of it has already happened. He lets you know what the activities are that is to take place in a certain designated period of time. God took the ministry of the Son of Man and break it up and say, first pull, this part, let's do that. Second pull, this part, let's do that. Third pull, this part is broken up into three little parts. Spoken word, the opening word, and the preaching of the lost. See? And then the resurrection comes. Now, why was God breaking up all that? So we can follow and know where we are at. so we can know what to expect. So we can understand what God is doing. So we can just say, but I know God's doing something, you know. But I know. He had to be doing something. Sure, God is asleep. God's not dead. My father will get hit at every day I'm walking too. The world might not know what God is doing, but God say, you will know what I'm doing. The world will not see me, but you will see me. I'll come to you. I'll manifest myself to you. The Spirit of truth will come and lead you and guide you into all truth. Bring back things to remember and teach you all things. Show you things to come. Put you on the expectation for prophecy. And you will see how it's becoming history in your own life. Oh, what a faith it puts the believer in. Where you walk with God from. It gives you something to live for. It gives you power to live. You know why people get pulled into this and pulled into that, and then they start to go into all kinds of things of leadership, and they start to do all kinds of things in the flesh, and then they get so stupid in their own mind, they want to pray, now God to back that up too. When it's their own rebellion and disobedience, so Jesus come and die, so they can continue in rebellion in the energy of the flesh without leadership, and God must back it up. So what did Jesus die for then? You know what I'm saying? It's people who haven't seen the value of what Jesus Christ did. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. The acknowledgement of that is submission to Him. That's why I say, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. See? But people say, well, I get it from God, so God has to be with me. No, no. He says, like rain falling just and unjust. Getting things from God is not necessarily in the material realm. It's not necessarily mean nothing. Satan has given that too. But seeing the promises being interpreted in your life, receiving the revelation of the word, receiving the faith that overcomes the world, that comes from to obedient people who walk in with God in submission to His word, because faith works by love. And sometimes when God says, do that, and your faith can't do it, God says, see, you don't really love me yet. And when that person realizes, they love God in a sense. Because right away, nobody wouldn't start to say, I don't love God. But a person now wants to say, I love you, but I want to have my way. I love you, but let me live my own life. No, no. God is saying, if you love me, trust me. Believe me. Obey me. I say, yes, Lord. Then God said, Moses, go and talk to that rock in front of the 2 million people and tell every man get ready to drink. Tell him get a barrel out. Tell him. And you watch a big piece of granite. And you always have skeptics. Say, hey, is it never happen? You say, that rock even sweat himself. But you got to trust God. You say, people, he can't go and say, which rock boy? God said, I won't behind this. Okay. He said, excuse me a while. He said, water come. Water come. You see water come out twice. You're okay, stop. He said, everybody get ready. The glory of God will be made manifest just now. Because he tried to a couple of times and it's working. No, it's not so. You have to obey God. That's what the prophet be. He stand there. He said, God, tell me, go and stand here and say such and such. The Father, you met me in the hotel room tonight. And you showed me the people who are going to come to the prayer line and everything else. And you show me that I'm saying, thus said God, I'm only acting out your vision on the platform. How many hymns that many times? And God used to show up. It's where you want to walk, friends. You can choose where you want to walk. You want to live in the gallery, it's up to you. God have a big, nice bed for you. You know what? A bed for the drunk neither. See? God have everything there for you. It's where you want to live. You want to sit in the living room there and stay around there and hang around the pantry and the kitchen. Just get anything to eat. You only want to live in the place where all your appetite could be satisfied. You're lusting for this. And God, okay, yeah. In the kitchen, just getting. Say, you say, God love me. I want our bread on the table. You never see the righteous or sick man and see begging bread. I have no secret there. It's food. See? Some people want to live there. But God will take them beyond that, friends. That's why the little table of Shubel and the high priest went beyond the veil. He went beating the wings of the cherubim, where the Shekinah glory shall come down, where the blood was sprinkled on the Moses' seat. Amen! Where the voice spoke, pardoned. Amen, a man can walk back out knowing that my sins are gone. Amen, I'm accepted before God. There's a confidence, no condemnation. There's a faith to move him out there. He sees the love of God. He sees what God has done for him. God canceled his 10,000 talents. He can go back out and see somebody with 50 talents and it's nothing to him. If a man have 20,000 talents, it's still nothing to him. Because what God has become to him, he understands it. He could be that to others. All that God was important in Christ, and all that Christ was important in the church. So what God was in Christ, now Christ could be in the church. Think of it. We are designed. This is what we are hungering for. This is what we are tasting for. Hearing it is the first part. Hear it. You recognize it to be the truth. And you go to acting upon it. And when you go to acting upon it, it begins to happen. You hear it, you believe it. You see, that's striking me as the truth. I believe that. I believe that's true. I mean, there's anything that's honest, of good report, is true, is a virtue. Think on these things. You know what the word says? It's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. And God is confident. Open up these things in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel. Begin to want to take the church into a place where we can understand the time. Because before we can redeem the time, we have to understand the time that we are living in. Then we can redeem the time. When Brother Branham preached the token, he says, that apply the blood at evening time, kill the lamb at evening time and apply the blood, because at midnight judgment was coming. Then he preached desperation to follow the token. Why? He said it was a time of desperation that was applying the blood. You know why? Because from evening time to midnight was all the time that they had for application. At midnight, the death angel is coming. It better be on display. Had an applying time and a displaying time. In other words, from evening time to midnight, you don't use that time and let it get occupied with ox to prove. You have an ox to prove, boy. I just buy a piece of land. Or I just marry a wife. And you have all that time and you are applying nothing. No. And when midnight comes, you say, hey, let me rush in fast and get this thing applied. It don't work so. Time was running out. He preached a man running from the presence of the Lord. He said, Jonah went down to Nineveh and was told him, in 40 days, judgment will strike. And as the time was running out, it was becoming more desperate. Showing to us that this age, from the time the message came, the angels came and the seals opened up, and this generation was indicted, and that rock was thrown up in the air, time for the Gentiles was running out. It's like, almost yet, angels in time shall be no longer. Why? Because the last part of the ministry, he that is filthy still. He said, remember, this is not an eternal covenant. This is an everlasting covenant. It's only until that last one coming. If we stay here 1,000 years, there will not be another one saved. We have to understand these things for God in order to move responsibly. And that is when the time comes. When God comes and shows the time to us, and we couldn't catch the time in a way like a man said, what time it is, boy? He said, I think it's after lunch. He correct. But the thing is, that time is not, you can't do nothing with that time almost. So I have 4 or 5 things to do and it had to be done before 2. So tell me after lunch, it's not telling me much. Because it'll take about an hour and a half to get done what they get done. So the man says, boy, it's 10 to 2. You can imagine the state of mind that that man going to get into. See? And that's why a prophet when he came. Those things had to be open. It could not be open. That's why each person lived out the age without knowing the age. Without knowing the time. And without knowing these things. And when it comes to the last days, And God opened, God began to come right down to the age and show everybody's time. Where it started, where it stopped, where the age died, where the plague fell on them, temporary judgment, where the elect was sealed unto the day of redemption. And he shows everybody age right down to the very last age when they put Christ in the outside and they too was finished. He said, at that, we are no longer in a Pentecostal age, in a pride age. Why was God doing that? Because he wanted us to see where we were. Now, we know time is running out. Then, you have to redeem the time. Redeeming the time means buying up the opportunity. Is that what it means? You could have time. You know, let me show you something. What it means. You have time. As a person, I have 2 hours still to do a certain thing. Yeah, but you might only have one opportunity within that space of 2 hours. Let me say, I have 2 hours, man. I got a bus. I'm going there. I have plenty of time. The bus is only take 10 minutes. Man say, yeah, but it only have 2 buses, one that's come every hour, and one gone already. And the next one come in next 10 minutes. So what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you're watching the time, but the time is only as valuable to you as the opportunity you have in that time. When you miss the opportunity, at that time you're wrong, but the chance you could have gotten, it bypassed you and didn't capitalize upon it. I mean making the most of every opportunity, turning each to the best advantage, since none can be recalled if missed. If you miss the opportunity, you can recall it. So Paul is telling them, is nearer than we first believe. What caused us to believe? We see a prophet take the scripture and manifest the scripture. We see a prophet reveal to us that God promises in the word, here it's come to pass. We see a prophet say, this kind of sign is to come before the change. He did that kind of sign. We see a prophet look at show us in the sky and show us the moon blackout and then show us in the scripture, God's darkness on the people. We see a prophet come and open the 7 seals and God showed in the sky and we see it. When you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, crowned with glory, look up your redemption draw it nigh. And all these things serve to convince us that all these scriptures is being fulfilled. And by having faith to accept that, we separated from the world. We left our organizations. We came and got baptized. We got to identify with the truth. We got to walk. We just come out of the age after God, save the people, bring them out. But we journey in, but we had to go in. Can't stop short. See? Then they come right up to the promise, Kiddush Barnea. And here it was. And they couldn't believe. See? They sort of fall asleep, many of them. Now, when you know your time, then you can begin to redeem the time. In other words, you can buy up the time. You can capitalize upon the opportunities. Know that if the opportunity is missed, it can be recalled. And Paul said, redeem the time and be wise. What the will of the Lord is. And let us walk with wisdom. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Put off the old works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Don't make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. It's high time. Say, wake up. Come out of the sleep. See? It's a waking up. What did the Bible say? 7 thunders going to wake up the bride. What did the 7 thunders hold? The hidden truths that were sealed in the word to reveal to us accurately and precisely the hour and the time that we are living in. Let me read one of these things before we close here. In Daniel 70 weeks, he says, we must stop and explain why these 70 of weeks, because we don't, you'll miss those seals. You'll miss those trumpets. You'll miss those vials. Those plagues. Children spit like frogs. Those 3 wounds. The casting of the red dragon, the woman and the sun. You'll miss it all if you don't, because it takes place right here in this 70 week. Now, that's not like a simple statement. But you know what I tell you? A lot of people say, yeah, I understand the seals. But I ain't too clear on Daniel 70 weeks. Yeah, I think I understand the casting of the red dragon. But I ain't catch Daniel 70 weeks. What you can see the trumpets, but I can't understand something. No. He said, go miss it all. So you realize a lot of people in the message learn a lot of things. And that's why what they learn and what they express, they don't produce faith. They don't get connected. Why? They don't know it the way God presented it. I want to show you, God could only present it a certain way. He said it was the way God presented them stars in the sky, them wise men. They follow it and they say, where is he born, King of the Jews? They were inquiring in a sense like, we don't know if there's really a king, you know. We come hoping he might be here. No. It was more a statement. He has to be here. Where is he? We know he's here already. We want to go and worship him. Tell us where. This street, next street, 2 miles down the road, the location. Tell it to us, because we know he's here. The stars are the signs of the seasons. They knew when that season came and was being identified, that portion of the word was being manifested. And they knew that it had to be there on the earth because God keeps his word. A word is allotted for a certain time. And once they saw the time correctly identified, they could expect that and they know it must be taking place because God is always right on time. I wonder when the people didn't know it. And they say, shall I argue among the servants? Is it the same thing? You really mess up, boys. Because if them people they know, if these priests they know, who else will know? They get authority. No. They ain't confined the belief to what them priests are saying. Huh? They know we have seen his star. All you know about it? Well, just realize that something going on right among all you know about. And then they went on again. They didn't get stumbled. The faith didn't get stumbled. You are sure. When God is revealing something, that's what he's telling us here. He says, now Daniel, you begin to see the time was getting close. Just as we are today, Daniel began to understand himself by the reading of the books in the first year of his reign. See? He says, now Daniel, he said, now do you understand? He said, the class, if you can find out what these 70 weeks are, we know when the consummation is. Listen to this. He said, if we find out when these 70 weeks are, we know when the consummation is. Don't you realize that we know when the consummation is? The consummation was the coming the days of the 10 toes. And for all these years, since Daniel time, 530 years or so before Christ, all the way down, which is about 2,500 years, nobody knew the time until this day a prophet come and identify. We in the toes of the vision now, because look, Eisenhower and Khrushchev here. So you live in the days of the consummation. If that is so, we ought to be in the last age. Catch what I'm saying? Who was revealing that? The last messenger to the last age. And the seven ages was the fullness of the Gentiles. And then in his days, the moon black out and they put Christ out to the church too. To show this is the age the fall now will take place. The apostasy will take place. And so the little horn, the prince who shall come, will rule all of them because they didn't have the love for the truth. So they're given a strong delusion to believe the liar who come in with the lie. And be damned by it. Because the one who come with the truth come first. The true anointed has always come first. Moses came first, then Balaam come after. Jeremiah come first, then Hananiah come after. Elijah come first, then Zedekiah come after. Anointed ones was to teach us that. So when we see this one coming first, we know after this one, anybody tamper with this word, anybody commit anything else, is to be lost, to be blotted out. Because Israel died when they listened to a false teacher after a vindicated prophet had come and thus said the Lord. There's no salvation for that afterwards. You don't get the truth and then go into a lie. No. A lie that make you come back against the same truth that saved you. No. Remember, I show here apostasy don't mean error or deception. The bride could be deceived for a season. Look at him in Corinthians. Paul say, "Man, you Corinthians, see, check what you are, rod or what? Some submission resurrection don't pass. You're crazy or what? See?" He said, "You foolish Galatians, who be with you?" See? He says, "Look, stand fast in liberty now, which Christ has made you free. Don't get entangled up in nothing again." The prophets of the bride are watching the Miss USA church and coming out to step two. And he said, "Get back in line!" See? Believers could get out of line. Believers could get, believe in all kind of foolishness. Take up in man personality, get diverted and everything else. But God come back to bring them back. See? But when you abandon the faith after it's vindicated for something that is error, might have, that way John said they went out of us because it wasn't from us. See? And that Paul said, defalling away must first come. Christ is going to be put out. And when he's put out, the denomination, they don't have no Christ in there. For Christ to be in the denomination, we still have to be in the age before the message is rejected. And we're not really in the bride age. We're not really called out if Christ is not rejected. Because the reason we get called out is because God wasn't in there. Come out to her, my people. You understand? And when he's teaching this here, he's telling me. Now that's why over these years, friends, we have to be walking with an understanding, Lord. There's not going to be much people serving you. It don't take no revelation to know that now once you see measure the truth, you know. Because you look around, you just see for yourself. As I said, all kind of signs everywhere. The people are interested. And even, and that darkness is so great in the world, and because we live in the world, we are delivered from the present world, not removed from it, but delivered from the influence of it. That's why he said the seven seals open to uncover the enemy's scheme. In other words, when we look, we're not getting tired of that because we know this is the people that reject Jesus Christ. This is the people who is being bundled for the fire. That's why we're ready to give up our life rather than compromise on this. Because that is already revealed to us who the tears are. The only reason we know we are weak and could say we are weak is because we know who the tears is, you know. This message separates the two. He said, "I'll call you bride, not church." And Moses called a nation out of a nation, so I'm calling a bride out of the church. Understand that? That is not just passing sayings. That is the dividing of time. That is the dividing of the world in the age. Separate. God's word called for a total separation from all unbelief. What was the unbelief? The organizations. He said, "Save his unbelief. Because if disbelief the word, children of disobedience, the soul that sinned shall surely die." The last plague before they came out was death. Here, when these things are being made known, he said, "Oh my God." He said, "Do you understand, class? If we get fired, when these 70 weeks are? When I feel it get..." You said, "I catch it real good. I could go into a further path in that with you." Because you see, the reason God couldn't give it to him fully before 63, it was under the 60s. Israel is called under them trumpets. And the seventh trumpet is preached supernaturally, so it will seal up the coming of the Lord. And when the seals broke and he saw it, he could understand now. He could divide the time. And that's why he had to preach certain messages and place them where they are and tell them, "You all are guilty of the crimes that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for, that God destroyed the people in the days of Jesus for, that God destroyed the people in the days of Noah for." And an indictment is, "I take the church like a courtroom this morning. And I'm going to prove by the word they are guilty of the same crimes." And he indicted them. And then, souls that are in prison, they were found guilty and imprisoned, awaiting the execution of judgment. And then God showed him with the white wig. He was the judge, and he was carrying out his trial. He was separating the righteous from the wicked? Because shall the judge of all the earth do right? Come down with an investigation judgment. Come down with an indictment. Come down with a trial. Come down with an imprisonment. See? It was all happening in this generation. That's why he's saying here, we'll know when the confirmation is. He said, God help us to know it. It tells somewhere in these pages exactly from the time till this time until the confirmation. It won't miss it 1 minute. He said, how great God wills. From the time when Daniel saw the vision, all the way down, until the days of the toes of iron clay. If we had the last prophet and we were in the last age, somebody must prove we're in the 10 toes. Somebody must prove the headstone is here to catch the bride away. Somebody must pronounce this world falling apart. Because this earth is to be burned after that Elijah. Somebody must prove it is harvest time. That the wheat is being gathered, that the tares could be bundled to be burnt. He had to go to them places in the Bible. He could not be a prophet and bypass them places. And when you understand that way, you realize it wasn't little messages, it wasn't sermons. It was a dispensational prophet closing off her age, calling a bride out, setting the church in order for the rapture, so the gospel could go to the Jews. He showed the Gentile days are numbered with horrors and combat. It's gone. He said, the nomination is the mark of the beast. He says, the rejection of the Holy Spirit is to take the mark of the beast, the manifestation will come later. Because that spirit is already upon them when they reject the message. Greatest battle ever fought. Why? Decisions are made in the mind. And the whole contest was on this age. Would they accept or would they reject? Right in the mind. The word is presented. The truth and the lie. Matthew 24:24. False prophets bringing the lie. See? Revelation 10:7. The true prophet bringing the truth. Make up your mind. He said the blood is upon your hand. What will you do with this Jesus called Christ? See? They make the wrong decision. He said the rich young ruler. Come to the right person. Ask the right question. Get the right answer, but make the wrong decision. Rich and increased goods have nothing but end up in hell. Cross the line. When he refused to follow the leadership of eternal life, he had to place those things once. We are privileged now. It's more serious than we think. I will get out of some comments here. Moment close. Because I'm just trying to keep your heart and mind into the place where your fellowship and your prayer with God for revelation in your life, where you can walk with Him and He can make known to you that this could stimulate the desire, Lord, I need to know. I can't. You want to reflect that responsibility. Well, I'm going to live anyhow, and if God will make you, God will stop me. Lord, you're teaching me the time. You're teaching me what happened. You're teaching me where we are. You're teaching me what I should be involved in, what I should not be involved in. You're teaching me how far I should go with certain things. Let me be the kind of son that's been child trained, that you can be adopted and placed. A son who's trained and now can be placed position of authority because I can carry out your word in obedience regardless of influence. You see, Lord, my desire is to please you. You see, Lord, my desire is to obey your word. You see, my desire, Lord, you know, is to live for you because you caused me to see. You chose me. I didn't choose you. You chose me. You sent a prophet to call me. You revealed to me my place in the world. You showed me in the Lamb's book of life and let me know I was chosen and predestinated. Lord, you show me that in a few more years, you know, before the whole world, the signs of existence is gone and don't even exist no more. Couple of years from now, we look around, we can't see an aeroplane, can't see a motor car, can't see nothing. Like that. That come from the fall. We'll be back in the faith civilization. We need all this kind of clothes, all the wardrobe of clothes going. All the cars going. All the house, this kind of house going. This kind of church building going. When those things seem far off, we are living the age when those things that are far off have to come here now. Our faith brings it here. Brother Enoch walked with God, friends. We can't relate it like those who die and see the life unto the day of redemption. when you see him coming in a cloud, your redemption draweth nigh. You're in the age when he leaves the Father's throne and he has the seven sealed book of redemption and he drops down on the earth to gather his redeemed subjects and begin to reveal to you, you are one. The one shall be taken and the other shall be. You are one. Amen. And begin to show you the world where we are going and tell you, you say, Lord, but I want to have this. You say, this one is again falling apart. He said, but Lord, he said, no, thy Satan's evil. He said, oh God, if you stay there, serve the God of his evil age. Oh. Then you find out who you love. Then you find out how strong your faith is. Then you know if you really have believed what he said through a prophet and vindicated. Some of us will find we only agree that it's right because we can't refute it. That's not faith, friends. We believe it, we tower, salt it, we salute it, we mix it with faith. We humble ourselves, we ask God to make it more real inside of us. Why? Because if God have called us to such a holy calling in this age, to redeem that time, he said, we're going to find right in these pages where that consummation is. He said, think of it. Think of it, it was sealed up in Daniel's time. Daniel tried to understand it. He said, don't try to understand it, Daniel. You wouldn't get it. Just like he tells us, you didn't put your mind to doing, try to figure it out. You're not going to get, you'll only go further from it. Obey your ABCs. But just before I come back, it'll come back around to you. And it'll be sad of me very plain to you. And then this one will catch the feet and be taken up. This one catch the feet and be taken up. And then people begin to, something begin to move inside of them that, like a spiritual astronaut. They break out of the humanistic realm. And they know they are walking with God like Enoch. And they have the testimony that they please God here before they are translated. They know rapture and faith is moving inside of them. Because that's what the seventh time was to give to them. It's just a loving. Just open up your heart to him. I say, it challenges our life every day. For your obedience, your separation, your submission. It's what proves that you're projecting your love to him. Or when you love God as far as you can go and can't go no further. And God see from the bottom of your heart, you try to walk in the road. The reason he picked Peter back up when you're sinking, because he's only obeying what he had told him. He says, come. And in trying to walk in obedience to the command given to him, and failing, and was unable to stay underwater, he reached out his hand and picked him back up. Because he saw him trying to obey what he had told him. So failure is not going to disqualify you as long as you're trying to obey. He's going to give you the help to walk in complete obedience. Try tonight. If you feel maybe something wants to pull you away from him, if you feel something wants to distort your mind, something wants to pervert your desire, Satan wants to offer you something that is going to bring a shame and embarrassment to him, and you know he's not even right, but yet you don't have the resistance tonight. Ask him tonight. Say, Lord, I write here in your service. I hear your word, Lord, and I want to live for you. Give me the strength I need. Give me the strength to carry on. Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength of yesterday is gone, but if you give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. I can move up a little closer in your presence, Lord. I could see the gap begin to close until that you could bring it to the place where there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. Lord, we'll be one, no longer twain. Take all the love of me, burn the iron pyrite right out of me, beat it out, Lord. I'm going to reflect your very image. I want to submit to your word tonight. I believe God will hear since your prayer tonight. Let's bow our heads and lift our hands to him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace and your presence that is moving here in the meeting right now, Father. Lord, hearts and lives that have been touched by your word and their faith have been stimulated, dear God, to reach out and touch you, Father. Lord God, some might be weak and some might be being bombarded by the enemy. Satan sets snares for them. You told Peter one time, I prayed for you because Satan wanted to sift you like wheat. Oh God, your eyes on the sparrow and your watch over each and every one of us. You know how the devil set traps for us, dear God. Sometimes you walk blindly, we don't even realize what he's doing, dear God. But Lord, you come back around in faithfulness and your words shine light and you expose the hidden things, oh God. Lord, you exposed the devices of the enemy. And you show, dear God, who is trying to undermine our faith. And he's trying to deter us many times. Lord God, you truly are faithful. And we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit, Lord, let's move in the heart of your children as they let go. And let you have your own wonderful way. Father, as they draw nigh unto you, draw nigh unto them, Lord. Lord God, as they confess that you are able to help them and deliver them, oh God, that they will know you are more than enough for them tonight. You are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, hallelujah, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present here tonight. You are more than enough tonight. Oh God, what we are lacking, you are able to give to us. Like Moses, Father, he saw many defects in his own life. He said, oh God, I can't talk. But everything that he lacked, dear God, everything that he needed, Father, that pillar of fire in whose presence he was standing, was able, oh God, to minister unto him, to give him all that he had needed to carry out your word, to fulfill the commission, Father. And so we realize tonight, Lord, the ever-present waters here, you didn't give them water to last them all through the journey, but the rock went with them, that whenever they got thirsty, whenever they began to faint, the rock was right there to give them what they had need of. You wanted to show you was interested in the needs. You was right there at their side. You was willing to help them, dear God. Father, so many times the people fall away in the time of testing. But oh God, I think the rock have left them. But the rock is here tonight. I pray, oh God, the water would gush out. It would bring a refreshing, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would move in their heart. You'll break the bands of the enemy. You'll pull on the strongholds, dear God. You'll show the devil they're trying to fence them in. Oh God, you'll give them strength and power and might in the inner man tonight. They'll feel the Holy Ghost enduing them with new strength, Lord. Oh, may you grant it tonight, Father. Lord, we believe in you, Lord. We want to receive from you. May we make room to receive the blessing. Like Elijah told them, dig the valley full of ditches tonight. May we dig out the trash, Lord. The thing that's stuck on the channels, oh God. May we cast it aside. Lay aside every weight, Father, and trust you tonight. Oh God, I pray the Holy Spirit, Lord, will break through every defense. And Lord, you'll take a hold of that soul on the inside. And you'll draw your children into your bosom, Father. Lord, you'll surround them with your love, dear God. And they'll realize, Father, Lord God, you have something far greater for them. The enemy might be trying to blind them from it, Lord. But you want to raise them up that they can see it, Lord. The way you are presenting it to them, Father. This is the great calling that you have called them with in this hour. You have chosen them and you have ordained them that their life can do this work. But sometimes Satan makes us so impatient many a times. Oh God, he makes us think, dear God, that we have to live this life of our own human strength. But Lord God, you are showing us tonight. Lord God, you are the water, you are the manna. Oh God, you are that lamb, you are that smitten rock, you are that brass serpent. Everything that they had need of in their journey, you are that to them, Father. Oh God, may you be the all in all tonight. And may, Lord God, there come a peace, a deep, settled peace on the inside. Lord, we can know you are reliable, that you are dependable, Lord. You can be trusted, oh God. You can be relied upon, Father. Oh God, we can commit these things into your hands. You know about it, dear God. Father God, you give that ashes to the red heifer. That any time we might have sinned somewhere, where we make some mistake, dear God, we can be sprinkled, dear God. That fellowship that is broken can be restored. It can be maintained, dear God. Lord, as you so desire to keep your people under your influence in harmony with you as you lead us to the fulfilling of all that you spoke for this hour. May you help us tonight, Lord, to see these things, Father. Oh God, let not the enemy, oh God, destroy and mislead, oh God. I pray tonight, Lord God, where many might be wanting to make decisions that is to their own detriment, Lord. You give them the grace to turn away. You give them the humility to humble. Lord, can be offered to us. They might want to give up this privilege. Oh God, Satan has nothing, Father. Everything he has, some perverted thing that you gave to us in its original form that he have perverted, Father. He's not no creator. Lord, you alone are the creator. Oh God, may we spit the world out and all the lies of the devil. May we be so sprayed with the repellent tonight, it'll have no effect upon us, Lord. Oh God, we'll just have a desire to walk in your truth and to live in your truth. Grant it tonight, Father. Oh, may you grant it tonight, Lord. Bless your children and strengthen them. And dear God, I pray that by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will open up the word. Lord, you build your church upon the rock of revelation. The Holy Spirit had to reveal it to John. He never knew who Christ was until the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove pointed out the word. Then he could say, I saw and bore a record.
Oh God, Peter, he had to speak by revelation. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. In Paul, not by the will of man, but by the will of flesh. But by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, if they had to get by revelation, your prophet in this age, an angel had to come. And Lord God, show it to him in many places in the Bible. When theologian was trying to tell him it was the devil, flesh and blood can bring it, Father. But it came from the Holy Ghost, from the angel of the covenant. Oh God, and here we are tonight. Lord God, the same kind of people, oh God. Father, facing the same kind of conditions, having to make the same kind of stand. Oh God, we might live a life worthy of the gospel just like they did. Say we come to Luther, the just shall live by faith, thunder into his soul. So dear God, I pray the Holy Spirit will make these things a reality. It will give more value to us, oh God, that in redeeming the time in this hour, we can capitalize upon every opportunity that comes our way. We'll realize, oh God, the opportunities have long gone, Father. The little time that remains to run out. Oh God, if there is an opportunity for us to do something for you, Lord, may we capitalize upon it. May we not be dominated by selfish thoughts, dear God, trying to build our hopes on temporal things. Lord God, they will pass away when the elements burn with fervent heat. But may we build our hopes on things eternal. May we hold to your unchanging hand, Father. Grant that, I pray. And Lord, when we leave this place tonight, may we go under this influence. When we travel along the way in our cars, Lord God, when we go to our homes in whatever form, dear God, may the Holy Spirit whisper in our souls, dear God, and continue to keep on speaking that still small voice. Even bring back to remembrance that which you see need to be anchored down, Father. And may you make clear and teach us further the truths that you see need to be crystallized and be made more plain, that we can see the value of it and we can submit totally to it, Lord. Oh God, may you grant it, we ask. We're depending on you, Lord. We know in our own selves we are nothing and can do nothing. But Lord God, we want to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, knowing you care it for us. We want to cast every care upon you tonight. Help each and every one, Father. We are individuals, our needs are diverse. We make up different, Lord. Oh God, but you know what we have need of, and you promise to supply every need. May your grace and mercy flow out to everyone tonight, from their greatest to the least. The ones who might be in temptation, the ones who might be in battered and being oppressed, one who have decisions to make, dear God, one who have need a touch in the body, one who need new strength to move on, Father, one who need a clearer understanding of the Word, how we all need that, Lord, one who need a greater measure of your Holy Spirit, dear God. I pray tonight, Father, the one who need to be circumcised, we have fleshly lust and fleshly desires. Oh God, we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father, burn that out of us, Lord. Oh God, we pray, Father, we can find that grace in your sight tonight. The Lord, whatever our need might be, the Holy Spirit might be attentive to these things. And we can leave here with a release. We can leave here, dear God, with the assurance, with the confidence that you will begin to work in these areas of our lives, these specific areas. Lord God, will continue until you perform it completely. Oh God, we got something to look forward to, Father, even to see a greater advancement of your Word in our lives. A greater power of the Holy Spirit operating in us. Great obedience to your will as we come into submission. Grant it, Lord. Touch the sick and the afflicted tonight. Break the power of devils that come to break up and destroy the health of your children, to bring setbacks and hinder them, dear God, and retard their progress. I pray tonight, Father, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will break them bands, Lord, and drive them devils away and raise them up tonight. Receive health and strength, Lord, that they can truly serve you, O God, Father, in a healthy body, O God. And Lord, you can get all this service you desire to get out of us. For Lord God, bring that passion in our hearts to know your Word, and the cry for reaching out in the Spirit, and the fervent desire to please you, I pray. May you grant it tonight. Endure us, Lord, with your presence. Grant it, Lord, we ask. We commit everyone into your hands now. We thank you for the time we've been here. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the joys of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the hope that we have, Lord. You've been so good to us, Lord. You've been so good to us. We appreciate you. We appreciate you, Jesus. Take every carnal and evil thing away from us. Make us more like you, Lord. Make us more like you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let us sing that Jehovah Jireh. He's more than enough tonight. Believe him tonight, not just to preach in the Word alone, but to do those things you have need of. As the Word come and shine and places in your lives, and under the influence of the Word, you see need for strength in certain areas. Let him tonight as you submit and open your heart. While we linger in his presence, just worshiping him here. Holy Spirit, linger with us. And then we go to our homes and he travel with us and guide us. And all the day tomorrow, down to Wednesday and Thursday, and bring us back Friday to tell the Lord's life. Back here before him to fill our tank up. Keep praying in the Spirit until we break right through. We might change our stations. We might move from place to place. But the prayer and the things we are communicating with God concerning, that he has revealed to us, and the needs in our lives that he has identified to us, that wouldn't stop, friend. That's the real prayer meeting. That goes on and on and on. We might stop here for an hour or two, but walking in the revelation, walking in close union, walking under the influence of the revelation of the Holy Spirit, whether we're driving our cars, in our homes, that goes on and on. That's why the Bible says, continuing in prayer, praying always, all supplication in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you're more than enough. Believe him tonight. Just draw from the Holy Spirit. Let your faith be released tonight. Healing for both body and soul tonight. Real divine healing on the inside of the inside. By your stripes, climb now, Jehovah. We acknowledge in his presence is here tonight. With me, you supply. In this hour, become the supplier we need. All that we have need of for the journey. You are more than enough. Oh yes, he is tonight. More than enough. Oh yes. More than enough. Oh, lift up our hands in worship as we lift our voices together and sing. We love you tonight, Lord. Lord, in this little church, shall we worship in this hot building tonight? Crying out to the depths of our souls, Lord. Craving for more of you, Lord. May you supply our every need, Father. How we love you tonight. We want to live for you. Oh, minister to us individually. Your Holy Ghost move through this place. Hallelujah. God bless you.